I think it would be appropriate on this Mother's Day before we open God's Word. And I just want to publicly apologize to our church family for my attitude to just one individual, and that would be Ron Baldwin. Even though he has run over my scooter with his car and also the church shuttle, even though he's known to be a bossy individual around the church staff, I caught him recently working hard. And I know many of you would not believe this, but I had to snap a picture to show you. This is not AI generated. So we caught Ron Baldwin here in the church working really hard. And I know as you come to church, you expect the AC to be on and the lights to be on. Everything's always working perfectly. But every now and then, if you'll look above, there are some light bulbs here, and these go out. And so we have to carry this 500,000-pound ladder into the auditorium. And it takes several of us to get it into the auditorium here. And then we have to maneuver it through the aisles and different places. And this is just a picture. It's hard to believe that he actually climbed the ladder and was involved in changing the light bulbs. Now, some of you are still not thinking that this is true, so I'm going to give you the opportunity at the end of the service just to ask him, how many light bulbs did he actually change out? Let's take God's word this evening and go to Mark chapter 9. The gospel according to Mark chapter 9. And as you are turning there this evening, I'm looking around. Good to see several of our college kids back home. I'm glad you have survived and that you have passed your exams and finals. Or you've gotten kicked out of school, one or the other. It's good to see you back home here. As you are turning to Mark chapter 9, I do want to just say thank you to our pastor for the opportunity to preach again this evening. I do always want to express our gratitude to our church family for giving the Sing Minis the privilege to serve here at Worth Baptist Church. And it's hard to believe in September we'll be here for 10 years. You know, we are officially Texans, I guess. All right, I need to get a big belt buckle and some cowboy boots and some spurs and a big cowboy hat. But we are Texans. I guess time does fly when you're having fun. And of course, I want to say thank you for being your place this evening. Let's look at Mark chapter 9 this evening, and we'll have kind of a little Bible study. So I'll make you turn in your Bibles there to several different passages as we try to relay God's message to us this evening. All right, Mark chapter 9, we'll read verse 30 down to verse number 35. The Bible says, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And the Bible says in verse 35, And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." The title of our message this evening is Greatness Defined by Christ. Greatness defined by Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, as we have opened your word and we have read the scriptures, I do ask once again that you would be the great teacher this evening. May our hearts be open to your perfect will for our lives. And dear Lord, I ask once again that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The idea of Mother's Day was started by a lady named Anna Jarvis. A really interesting story about Anna Jarvis is that she actually was never a mother, nor was she ever married. After Anna's mom, Ann Reeves Jarvis, had passed away in 1905, Anna wanted to do something special and great for her mom. and also to honor the sacrifices of all mothers when they make it for their children. The first official Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908 at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. My mother, she immigrated here to the United States in 1981 from a small country called Laos. She met my dad, and then I was born, 1984, in New Iberia, Louisiana. When I think of greatness, my mom must be towards the top of the list. She moved to a foreign country. She did not speak the language. She did not know the culture. She had no family, and she had very little support. If there was one phrase that I would use to describe my mom, it would be hardworking. And you can tell from my baby picture there on the left-hand side, she always made sure that I had something to eat. How would you define greatness this evening? If you were to do a quick research online or use a dictionary, greatness would be defined as the quality of being distinguished or notable, having power, or someone being exceptional in skill or ability. When we think of greatness, we would associate the word superior with it. I ask the question this evening to the audience, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear of an individual who is great? He is a great pastor. She is a great teacher. He is a great employer. She is a great coach. He is a great dad. She is a great mom. He is a great son. She is a great daughter. What comes to your mind when you think of greatness? On Mark chapter 9, verse 35, we have greatness defined by the Lord Jesus. And Jesus describes greatness with three simple words. Would you underline them there? And he sat down in verse 35 and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. And here's the three words that Jesus uses to define greatness. Servant of all. What does it mean to be great from Jesus' perspective? Three words. Servant of all. This is the end of the school year. Children, teenagers, and you're about to finish school, and we're coming to our last test before the semester. And the test is one question, class. It's to determine if you're going to pass or fail. And the question is this: what is greatness defined by Christ? The three words are servant of all. Let's say that together. Servant of all. The Greek word here is diakonos. Diakonos. Brother Bill? Diakonos. Did I get it right? I was thinking of you all afternoon. Diakonos. The word servant here is diakonos. And there are three word pictures that will help us to understand the word servant in a better way here. Diakonos. The first picture that we have is the idea of being an attendant. What do you think of when you hear of a parking lot attendant? Or a flight attendant. They are usually waiting on customers, tending to whatever need is before them. Sometimes those attendants are required to clean up messes that you and I create. Another word picture that we have for this word servant, diakonos, is the word picture of a waiter. How do you determine the type of tip you give to a waiter at the restaurant? It's not usually just one area, but consider multiple areas. How they greeted you at the door or at the table. Their countenance. Did they take your order correctly? How fast the food came out? Are they attentive to your needs? How long does it take before they fill up your cup because it's empty? You get the idea. There are many aspects of being a waiter. There's just not one. It takes a lot of different things to make a good waiter. Another word picture for this word, diakonos, it has to do with one who is running an errand. When you read this word, it actually has the idea of kicking up dust, and that individual is running to take care of whatever it is the need may be. The word diakonos and servant has also the same meaning of a deacon. And as we think of the deacons in our church, they are the ones who tend to widows and help the poor. And Jesus here in this chapter and also in another chapter talks about what it means to be great. Would you hold your place here and go to Mark chapter 10, just one page over? Mark chapter 10 and verse number 42. Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." And one of my favorite Bible verses, if not my life verse, is verse 45 of Mark chapter 10. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus is our great example. He came to minister. That's the idea of the word diakonos, as a servant, one who ministers. Philippians chapter 2, if you'll hold your place and go there, is a great description of the Lord Jesus who was servant of all. Philippians chapter 2, and the Bible says in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And the Bible says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." If you hold your place here and go back to Romans chapter 16, there was also a lady in the church. And this is what this lady, this is how this lady is described in the church. In Romans chapter 16, same word here, the same Greek word, diakonos. The Bible says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church." We see here a great example of an individual who is great. In the eyes of Christ, an individual is great is when one they are serving. Now, when you're thinking, "I don't really want to be a servant," if you kind of question that, just come over to my house. We've got four kiddos and we love them all. Jonathan, Esther, Joy, and Naomi. I feel like every time I'm preaching, I'm using them as illustrations. Thank you, family, for helping us out here. But very seldom does Jonathan look over and say, "Esther, I can't wait to serve you." I'm not sure if I've ever heard Joy say, "Naomi, can I do that for you?" Usually the one that's serving is mom, right? Dad is too tired. You're the kid. You can do it. Serve me. We don't want to be servants, because when we think of the term servant, it speaks of low prestige. It speaks of low respect, low honor. Most people, if not all people, are not attracted to such low value in life. But when Jesus uses the term here, servant, servant of all, diakonos, it was a synonym for greatness. And by way of illustration tonight, I want us to consider just two examples of greatness from Christ. All right, would you hold your place and go to Matthew chapter 11 this evening? Matthew chapter 11. I want to give you two examples that we find in Scripture from Christ. Two individuals that are considered great. Do you really want to be great this evening? Well, let's consider these two examples and what we find in their lives. Matthew chapter 11. And verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 11. The first individual that we find Jesus speaking about being great is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great individual because he was a servant. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And they, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. And notice verse 10 here. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus said, the greatest that has ever been born of woman is John the Baptist. What made John the Baptist great? Hold your place here and go to John chapter 1. The gospel according to John. And I think there's three things that we find in the life of John, in John chapter 1 and John chapter 3, that makes him great in the eyes of Christ. In John chapter 1, and look at verse number 29. The Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I wrote this down. John was great because he declared the gospel. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look, John, the servant of Jesus, was unashamed to declare that Jesus is the one and only way of salvation. He was the only one qualified to wash your sins and my sins and wash the sins of mankind completely away. John was great because he was bold to declare that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He declared the gospel. I wrote this down. John is great because he denied himself. One page over in John chapter 3 and verse number 30, Jesus says this about himself. John says this about himself compared to Jesus. He, speaking of Christ, must increase and John must decrease. John denied himself. John was not concerned about getting self-glory or self-promotion, but he was more concerned about Jesus being high and lifted up because he was a true servant, a true minister, diakonos, one that was ready to serve and help, a waiter, one that was attentive. And I wrote this down. I believe John was great because he directed others to Jesus Christ. If you'll go back to John chapter 1 here, as a servant of the Most High, John declared the truth of the gospel. He denied self, but as a servant of Jesus, he directed his followers not to follow him. He directed his followers to follow Jesus. If you'll notice in John chapter 1 and verse number 37, the Bible says, And the two disciples who were the disciples of John, when they had heard him speak, speaking of Jesus, they followed Christ. That's what makes you and I great. We're a servant. We declare the gospel. We deny self and we are directing others to the Lord Jesus. Go now to Mark chapter 14 and we come to our second example of an individual who is great. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 1. Mark chapter 14 verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 9. Our second example of greatness from what Jesus said. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, the Bible says. And she takes this very precious ointment that's valuable. And the Bible says she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and they have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. Jesus says, wherever the gospel is going to be preached, I want you to talk about the greatness of this woman. Now hold your place here and go to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we learn that this woman who broke the box of precious ointment was named Mary. So we have John the Baptist, a great example of a servant who was great. But we also have Mary, an individual who Jesus considered to be great. John chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, we learn that this Mary is the mother, is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. John chapter 12, and verse number 1. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they had made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And verse 3 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, what made Mary great? Well, if you do a little Bible study here, you'll find that three times Mary's mentioned in Scripture. And each time in the Gospel as Mary's mentioned, it's interesting to know that you find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. What made Mary great? I wrote these three things down from the three times that we find her at the feet of Christ. Number one, she sat and listened. Would you go to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. And in verse number 38... the Bible says, now it came to pass as they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which was also sat at Jesus' feet. And what does the Bible say? She was listening to his word. What made Mary such a great individual? She was willing to sit and listen. Mary was willing to sit and listen to the words of Christ. And as I think of the busy world that we live in, we have so much going on. And whether at school and at work or at church, there's a lot that's going on. May we never forget the importance of just sitting still and listening to the truth of God's word. I think it's so important that we just slow down. Maybe put our phones on silent and just listen. Something happens to the human brain when a kid turns 13. I'm not sure what it is. I'm still trying to figure it out. Rachel and I have been in church youth ministry now for almost 20 years. And then from the age of 13 for maybe the next 10 years to the age of 23, young people think they know it all. And the last thing that they want to do is to listen. But I want to just challenge all of our young people. Would we take the advice from James? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Mary was a great servant because she was willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Don't just sit there. We have a lot that are just sitting around playing on their video games. But be willing to sit and listen. Mary was great because she sat and listened. I wrote this down. Mary was great because she sorrowed for her family. John chapter 11, if you're still there, this is the story of her brother Lazarus becoming very sick to the point of death. In John chapter 11, and verse number 1, the Bible says, now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jump down to verse number 19. Lazarus has passed away. Bible says actually in verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he, speaking of Lazarus, has been laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Jump down to verse number 28. And when she had so said, she went her way, speaking of Martha, and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she had rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I'll stop reading here, but you know the rest of the story. Jesus brings Lazarus forth from the dead. And what a miracle it was. But one of the things I think we miss out when we read the story is how Mary was sorrowful for her family. Mary loved her family. And the older I get, the more I'm starting to understand the value of family. She loved her brother. She loved her sister. She loved Jesus. She cared for her family. And it's sad, but the hardest thing to do nowadays is to love one another and to love family. The devil is a master at driving a wedge between father and son, husband and wife. And I just want you to know that Mary was a great individual because she sorrowed for her family. She loved them. May we recommit to loving our family. And then I wrote this down, the passage that we read. Mary was great because she sacrificed what was precious. She was willing to give her best for Jesus. What is the best thing that you have in your life right now? Is it your job? Is it your schoolwork? Is it a sports team? Is it some financial means that you have? What's the greatest thing that you have? Are you willing this evening to sacrifice those things for Christ? Mary was willing to give it all. One commentator wrote, when we combine the gospel records, we learn that Mary anointed both his head and his feet, and that she wiped his feet with her hair. A woman's hair is her glory. She surrendered her glory to the Lord and worshiped him with the precious gift that she brought. This was an act of love and devotion that brought fragrance to the whole house. John the Baptist was great. Mary was great. I asked the question this evening. From our two examples and from what Jesus said, how greatness is defined, servant of all, are you great? What is greatness defined by Christ? Servant to all. And we see the example of John the Baptist. He was not ashamed to declare the gospel. He was willing to deny self. He was willing to direct his followers to follow Jesus. And then Mary, she didn't just stay busy serving. She was willing to sit and listen. I love how our pastors put it. We must know our why so the urgent doesn't crowd out what is most important. What is the most important thing? Tony, the most important thing is for you to sit at the feet of Christ and listen. Mary loved her family. She served them. And then also she was willing to sacrifice and give her best. And I just want to ask church family on this Mother's Day service in the evening here, will you and I commit to becoming great? Not according to Webster's Dictionary, but would you and I be willing to commit to be great defined by Christ? Will you commit to be a great father and mother, a great husband and wife? Single adults, would you commit to be a great single adult? Students and children, church member, let's ask God to help us to be a servant to all. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would seal these truths into our hearts this evening. And as I've been thinking about the greatness of people all around me, of course, I think of my mom, who's been a great individual and example. But how is greatness defined? And tonight we have seen from your word that Jesus says greatness is defined when we are servant to all. With your head bowed and your eyes closed this evening, we want to extend an invitation. Let's all stand together. And I'm not sure how God has dealt with you, but I've been meditating on this passage and what greatness really is. I want to be a great youth pastor. I want to be a great church member. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. But what does that even mean, Tony? That means I am a servant to all.